Thank you, Dr. Pezmajoglu. We next have Philip Good, who returns again. Philip's from the European Commission, and he's going to talk on the aviation EU ETS and data collection.
Okay, thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. Yes, I've been asked today to give an overview of the requirements for monitoring, reporting, and verification that we've developed in Europe and are now implementing in response in relation to the EU ETS. And I think it follows quite nicely on from the previous presentation in terms of being able to see some similarities and compatibilities between the data that's now going to be generated here and the needs at an international level. So what I'm going to cover is firstly just by giving a brief overview in terms of the role and the importance of monitoring, reporting and verification in the context of the EU ETS in general. Then I'll go on and introduce, give a quick overview in terms of what our legislation says and the principles and requirements behind that, and then provide a little bit more detail, practical detail, in terms of what the approaches for monitoring emissions are in relation to aviation. So I think fundamentally we have a principle in the ETS that we need a very clear and strong compliance framework. The reason is that we are effectively need to be in a position where we can compare and ultimately trade emissions of CO2 that occur in one sector with those in another sector. So therefore, for the system to work, we need to have very clear and strong requirements to ensure that if you're looking at CO2 from the steel industry, you're getting 1 ton there is the same as 1 ton from the aviation industry. So this means that at the heart of the system, the monitoring of emissions by operators is a key point. And in order to do that and ensure that we have this comparability across the different sectors, we've developed some very clear principles and practices. So in terms of our legislation, we've got a decision from last year, 2009-339, which sets out the monitoring reporting guidelines for aviation. There are three key parts to this to note. Firstly, there's some general MRV principles, sort of setting out the concepts and the requirements in relation to MRV in general. We then have a whole series of sector-specific annexes, and the ones which are of interest to aviation are the emissions monitoring requirements for aviation, but also there's ton kilometre data monitoring requirements for aviation, which is used in relation to our benchmarking process for the allocation of free allowances. What we've done with this piece of legislation is basically build on the principles that have already been established for fixed installations, and expand and extend those into aviation context. A key factor that we've taken into consideration in the development of MRV across all sectors is this need to basically balance, on one hand, the need for very clear environmental integrity so you can have a functioning market, but at the same time, a realization, a recognition that we have to have cost-effective requirements as well, and the requirements can't be too burdensome. In addition, we feel that it's important that we have some synergies between what we're doing in our system and the needs elsewhere, so for example in relation to international reporting protocols. So we make all efforts to ensure we've got as much compatibility with external requirements, and we don't want to reinvent the wheel in any way. So I mentioned a little bit about the key principles of MRV. These are the seven principles which our legislation has as the foundations for what we're seeking to achieve. So most of them are fairly logical and fairly straightforward. I won't go them all through in detail, but you can read for yourself. But quite clearly, completeness. We need to ensure that when we're monitoring that all emissions are included. We need a transparent approach. We want to ensure that all data is clear where the data has come from, and the assumptions made in generating the data are clearly recorded. A key feature of the bottom in terms of improvement of performance, we have a continuous improvement approach to MRV. The idea is that as time progresses and as the operators and the competent authorities get more experience of monitoring, reporting and verification, there's always room for improvements. There's always a way in which the accuracy can be improved and you can get a better outcome at the end. So the MRV framework is quite simple. It's basically consists of monitoring, reporting and verification. So the aircraft operator is responsible for measuring CO2 emissions and, in our case, tonne-kilometre emissions for the benchmarking. Then the operator needs to report that to the competent authority who's regulating them. This happens for emissions once a year as an annual compliance cycle. Tonne-kilometres, it's once per compliance period or trading period, which effectively now means that we're doing a benchmarking exercise in 2010, which is valid all the way through to 2020. And then finally, the very important step is independent verification. And those verifiers need to be accredited so we have some assurance as to the quality of their work. So this is how the system fits together. So we start off with the operator developing monitoring plans according to the requirements of the legislation. These are then submitted to the competent authority who reviews and approves the plans. Once that approval process has taken place, it's then back to the operator to implement and run the monitoring system. And then at the end of the period, so for the emissions after the year has passed, there's then the need for the verifier to look at the reports that have been generated by the operator to check the implementation of the plan and the quality of the outcome. Once they have had the seal of approval from the verifier, they are then submitted to the competent authority, and the competent authority can accept or reject the results. So, a little bit more about the monitoring plan. Each operator participating in the scheme has to have their own specific monitoring plan. These are based on a common standard and format, which is set out in the legislation. And fairly obvious things are in the monitoring plan. It's got to set out the monitoring methodology, discuss issues such as measurement methods, how data flow is going to be managed, how the quality controls will work, and then we also have data archiving requirements because we need to ensure that we have data stored for a certain period so it can be looked back at if there are any issues in the future. To help with this process, what we've been developing is some standardised templates which are part of the legislation. And this is the first time that we've had standardised reporting templates in any sector, so we've actually broken new ground for the ETS here. They take form of Excel spreadsheets, which have all been put on our language, put on our website, translated into all 22 EU official languages. In addition, on the website, there has been some example monitoring plans and emissions reports have been provided to provide an indication of what we're looking for and how these should be interpreted. This approach is basically provides a sort of baseline. And the way the legislation works is that member states need to use this approach as a minimum, and in certain requirements they can go slightly beyond. And this is because there is a clear move towards electronic reporting, and two member states in particular have developed more sophisticated web-based systems where rather than using Excel sheets as the basis, they're using a web-based interface, using exactly the same principles and data requirements. For the future, we hope to automate this system even more, and we're currently developing an XML schema, which again will be generic across the whole ETS to enable this whole process to work in a very automated fashion. So, what is the actual monitoring that needs to take place? Basically, our legislation works on the basis that fuel consumption for each flight covered by the scope of the scheme must be monitored. So it's a flight-by-flight data collection exercise. There are two approaches which are set out in the legislation in terms of how the flight-by-flight data is collected, method A and method B. I won't read them out, you can read it yourself, but basically one's a sort of a full tank to full tank approach and the other's an empty tank to empty tank approach. Then once you have collated your flight-by-flight fuel consumption, there's then the need to go through and convert that into emissions. So we have standardised emission factors in the legislation which were applied. Also, very critically, we have density requirements if you're converting the fuel from a volume metric basis to a mass basis. This is actually pretty critical when you're dealing with CO2, because variations can actually impact on the quantities of CO2 you get out at the end. The legislation requires that this is taken from the best available source, typically onboard measurement or from fuel suppliers. We also provide a sort of default value in the cases where this is not possible and a standardised value can be used. There will also be special requirements for non-standard fuels, such as biofuels, and further work on that will be needed to operationalise that precise part. So I will just rush through because I've got one more minute left, but basically once that data has been collated, it's then reported. We require relatively detailed reports in terms of looking at all the aircraft which have been used, the total number of flights, the total fuel consumption and emissions. And then also we ask for disaggregation. We want these emissions reported basically in terms of domestic emissions, departing international emissions and arriving emissions. I think a key point to highlight at this stage is that what I've outlined, the reporting process, is applicable to the large emitters. We've also in the legislation very aware of the needs for small emitters and looking at and have therefore developed approach, a much more simplified approach for small emitters, to which should be less burdensome, which basically enables them to model their emissions rather than measure their emissions. We're in the process of approving a standardised tool developed by Eurocontrol, which does that. That's a simple spreadsheet model, which will be free to use and available on their website. So, my last slide. I wanted to highlight with this presentation, firstly, how important MRV is a component of the EU ETS, emphasise the approach that we've taken and the fact that we monitor emissions from a flight-by-flight basis in order to get accurate data, but also recognising that there are special needs of small emitters and simplified procedures should be used. So if you want any more information on this, I recommend that you have a look at our website, because we have quite a lot of information there about all these aspects. So thank you.